Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. I have for you tonight some good news from around the world. Let's see what's happening, what I found recently. First, from the New Jersey Inquirer comes Philly tips. Recreational pot sales have started in New Jersey. Here's how to find your closest pot shop. Recreational marijuana sales begin at 12 dispensaries in New Jersey on Thursday. A long-awaited development of many cannabis consumers of the 12 locations, five of them are in South Jersey, with some just a short drive from Philadelphia. Sales at the 6th South Jersey location, the Cureleaf Dispensary in Edgewater Park, were delayed by a zoning issue and may start on Friday. All right, next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we have from New Age BD, Nepal Marijuana Campaign seeks return of Himalayan High Times. Nepal's marijuana ban could soon be up in smoke as lawmakers know a return to the liberal drug policies that once made the Himalayan Republic a popular pit stop on the overland hippie trail. Half a century ago, Thursday, thousands of fun-seeking backpackers from around the world made their way to Kathmandu to buy potent hash, strange from government-licensed stores on Freak Street, a lane named for long-haired and unkempt foreign visitors. Washington's global war on drugs and its accompanying pressure on foreign government prompted the closure of the Capitol's dispensaries in 1973, along with a cultivation ban that forced farmers to rip up their cannabis plants. Now, with Western countries easing their own prohibitions on marijuana, the government and legal reform campaigners say it is time to stop criminalizing a potent cash crop with centuries-old ties to the country's culture and religious practices. Quoted Beyond Katwadi, Nepal's health minister, "It is not justifiable that a poor country like ours has to treat cannabis as a drug. Our people are being punished and our corruption increases because of smuggling as we follow decisions of developed countries that are now doing as they please." Katwadi sponsored Nepal's first parliamentary motion advocating an end to the ban in January 2020, and 2 months later, a bill was put to lawmakers seeking partial legalization. A change in government was stalled progress since, but in December of that year, Nepal backed a successful campaign to have the United Nations reclassify cannabis out of its list of the world's most harmful drugs. Nepal's Home Ministry has since launched a study into the medicinal properties and export potential of marijuana that is expected to support a revived parliamentary push to end the ban. Activist Rahiv Kalfe, who lives with HIV and began campaigning for legalization after using the drug to treat his medicine, quotes, "It is a medicine." Kafte said ending the ban would be an important booster to Nepal's tourism industry, which is still reeling from the COVID pandemic, and would also benefit Nepalis suffering from chronic illnesses. While the current law allows for medicinal cannabis, there is no established framework for therapeutic use, and the government will still enforce a blanket ban on consumption and trafficking. Calf told the Associated Press, "So many patients are using it, but they are forced to do it illegally. They get caught any time." Enforcement of the ban is already patchy. Tourists visiting Nepal's backpacker haunts are unlikely to encounter the long arm of the law for lighting up a joint in a Kathmandu back alley. Authorities also look the other way during an annual festival held to honor the Hindu deity Shiva, the destroyer of evil, who is regularly depicted clasping a chillum pipe used to smoke cannabis. Ganja smoke wafts around the grounds of Kathmandu's Pashupatinath Temple each year as holy men gather to celebrate and worshippers fill their own chillums with Shiva's gift. But elsewhere, penalties are harsh, regularly enforced. Marijuana dealers risk up to 10 years jail time, and police seize and destroy thousands of cannabis plants across the country each year. Prohibition interrupted a long tradition of cannabis cultivation in Nepal, where plants grew wild and their stems, leaves, and resin were used in food or clothing fibers or as a component of traditional Ayurvedic medicines. Quote, "The ban destroyed an important income source in the region," quotes a farmer in Western Dong, speaking on condition of anonymity. It, quote, "It ignored how it was part of our culture and everyday life, not just an intoxicant." Several Western countries have ended their own bans on marijuana use in recent years, including parts of the United States, which once spearheaded the global campaign to criminalize the drug. In California, dispensaries sell Himalayan Gold, a strain which originated from Nepal and calls to mind the country's historic associations with weed culture, a rejuvenated marijuana trade tailored to burgeoning export demand and cashing in on Nepal's existing international brand value could prove highly lucrative, said Barry Bialik, a doctor working at a cannabis research center at Kathmandu University. Quote, "As a cash crop, it can be good locally, but also in the global market. It can be a leader in the world. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio, episode 128, with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's go on to the next one from WRIF.com. How much marijuana did Michigan purchase on 420? It was way up from last year and 2020, according to information from the Michigan's Cannabis Regulatory Agency. In 2022, $15 million, $558,079. And then 2021, $10 million, $696,653, pennies excluded. And 2020, $3 million in sales of marijuana in Michigan, $670,832. Where'd all the pennies go? Okay, so marijuana in Michigan, they're smoking more in the past 2 years. Next, from Smoke News Radio, we have from Morocco News. This is quoted, Wajakoya quotes, "I will smoke bong for the first time during my inauguration ceremony." Professor George Wajakoya claims he has never smoked marijuana before. During an interview with NTV, Salim Swaleh explained why he vehemently fights for the legalization of marijuana, despite being frowned upon by a selection of society. Wakayoya quotes, "From Canada to USA, to our neighbors Uganda and Rwanda, as well as South Africa and Morocco, what is it they have noticed about marijuana that we have not? Countries mentioned above have legalized the use and cultivation of marijuana either for medicinal or recreational use. Morocco, for example, continues to be the world's largest producer of cannabis resin. And also, Uganda and Rwanda, which legalized the medicinal use of marijuana in 2020-21, respectively, have reaped the fruits of exporting the product. Uganda exported 400 kilograms of medical marijuana to Germany, earning $2 million in one shipment. Wakoya referenced this during the interview, citing Kenya should emulate our neighbors. "We have accumulated debts from China. If elect president, I will hand back SRG to the Chinese and give them harvested marijuana as repayment to their debt," quotes Wakoya. Professor Wakoya included the interview by promising Kenyans that marijuana will transform the lives of every Kenyan the same way crude oil transformed the lives of Arabs in the Middle East. Quoted, "Discovery of oil in the Middle East transformed the Gulf countries from deserts to wealthy nations. Once we start exporting marijuana, our will change too. We will sleep longer and be forced to import workers from abroad, just like Middle East," said Wakoya. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio, episode 128. Your host, Jason Brodsky. We have right here from NJ, New Jersey, 1015. Legalization planned to block off-duty cops from marijuana use. Legalization is being drafted in Trenton that would change state law and allow police departments to prohibit law enforcement officers from using marijuana for recreational purposes. While off-duty, Assemblywoman Victor Flynn, our Monmouth, said the bill is necessary because guidance from Attorney General Matthew Platkin telling police departments not to penalize officers for off-duty marijuana use would have disastrous legal and financial implications for local governments and future criminal cases. Quoted, Flynn quotes, "It's in response to some of the issues that have been raised to us by local law enforcement about the intrusion into their operations by the attorney generals taking, I guess, a laissez-faire approach to marijuana use by law enforcement officials." Flynn said a number of officials reached out to her legislative office because of confusion triggered by Platkin's memo. Quotes, "It almost would have been better left unsaid," Flynn quotes. "The administration has had over 4 years to develop policies and procedures and get feedback from employers, especially public employers, on the issue of legalizing marijuana. And it seems that this was really a missed opportunity to figure out how best to roll out this when it comes to law enforcement officers, even DPW workers who use heavy equipment." Platkin said the memo was written in response to numerous questions from law enforcement chief executives. The Cannabis Regulatory Commission quoted, "The April 13th memo simply reflects the letter of the law, including how it impacts police officers, and does not in any way go beyond the plain text of the statute as written or the regulations that the Cannabis Regulation Commission has issued to date, nor does it reflect a policy position I have taken," quotes Platkin. And who goes on to say, "In my capacity as New Jersey's chief law enforcement officer, public safety is my top priority. To be clear, I share the concerns being expressed by some elected officials, legislators, and others with regard to the off-duty use of legal cannabis by police officers. Jersey City Public Safety Director issued a directive barring off-duty marijuana use by police, and other municipalities have since done the same." Platkin's memo says police cannot use marijuana while on duty, and that departments should discipline officers who are intoxicated on the job, as they do for alcohol use, but trace amounts of marijuana remain detectable in the blood tests long after a person is no longer high. The memo from Platkin is an interpretation of the legislation law enacted last year. Assemblyman Jerry Scherfenberger of Marmont will also sponsor Flynn's bill, said it's appalling. Quoted, Scherfenberger quotes, This is just another example of how problematic this poorly written legislation has become and how the referendum hid information from voters. First, it was the attempt removal of parental notification. Now, it is green lighting of drug use by police, disregarding the issues it will cause. Next Monday is the next time legislation can be officially proposed in the assembly, as court of call is scheduled that ends the House's budget break. State House Bureau holding it down. New Jersey next from thehill.com. Pot taxes surpass those from alcohol and legalization states. Most states have legalized marijuana for recreational consumption, but now take in more tax revenue from pot sales than from alcohol sales, according to a new analysis. The report from the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy found that 11 states where marijuana is legal pulled in just shy of $3 billion in excise taxes on pot in 2021, compared with about $2.5 billion they made on alcohol excise taxes or liquor store profits. California's fast-growing legal marijuana market generated $832 million in excise taxes, about twice as much as from alcohol sales. Marijuana revenues in Colorado generated $396 million for the state, almost eight times as much as alcohol sales. Marijuana taxes eclipsed alcohol taxes in Illinois, Massachusetts, Washington, Arizona, and Nevada as well. Alcohol still counts for more state revenue than marijuana in Michigan, where pot sales have only recently come online, as well as Oregon, Maine, and Alaska. There's no tax in Oregon. Okay, quoted, this is still a small part of the state budgets, but it's a very quickly growing area. There are many revenue sources that grow year over year. This has been a several year trend now, said Carl Davis, one of the authors of the ITEP study. Quoted, the early states, what you see is revenue start low and grow very, very quickly, end quote. In the two states with the most established legal marijuana markets, Colorado and Washington, where voters approved legalization schemes in 2021, tax revenues from marijuana eclipse even tobacco tax revenue, the most lucrative of the so-called sin taxes states levy. For now, in most of the rest of the legalization states, tobacco taxes remain paramount. Tobacco excise taxes account for more than double the pot tax revenues in California, Illinois, Michigan, Massachusetts, Oregon, Arizona, Maine, and Alaska. Davis said he expected other states to see marijuana eclipse tobacco as a source of tax revenue in coming years. Most states already tax tobacco products at much higher rates than marijuana, and smoking rates have declined for decades. Quotes, the long-run trajectory in tobacco use, here has been downward for quite a while. It's going to come down to what states do with their tobacco tax rates. States tax different products at far different rates, even within categories like alcohol. In Colorado, one second. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. A little liquid break real quick. Okay. States tax different products at far different rates, even within categories like alcohol. In Colorado, the state levies a 15% excise tax on both marijuana wholesale and retail transactions. At the same time, it has one of the lowest tax rates on alcohol products at $2.28 per gallon of distilled spirits, 32 cents per gallon of wine, and just 8 cents per gallon of beer. Most other states levy a state excise tax on retail marijuana sales, ranging from 10% in Michigan to 37% in Washington State. California levies a 15% excise tax on wholesale rates, along with taxes of $9.65 per ounce on marijuana flowers, $2.87 per ounce on leaves, and $1.35 per ounce of fresh cannabis plants. Alcohol products, spirits, are always taxed at the highest rate. In Washington State, a gallon spirit incurs a 35.31 excise tax, the highest in the nation, followed by Oregon and Virginia, the highest excise taxes on beer, contrast, stand at just $1.29 per gallon. The rate levied in Tennessee, wine is taxed most in Kentucky, $3.23 per gallon, according to the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation. Several other states are considering joining the 11 pioneers in legalizing recreational marijuana. As they do, Davis said, the best way to maximize revenue is to remove barriers to entry for the businesses that cultivate and sell marijuana. Davis quotes, if their priority becomes the maximize revenue, the way you do that is to allow for a large number of retail outlets and for delivery and discourage local bans on cannabis shops. You can tax cannabis quite heavily and raise a significant amount of revenue. Washington is raising more than any other state per capita because it has a high tax rate. Smoke News Radio, that's a hot one right there. That one's smoking hot smoke, hot potato. Oh, fantastic. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Here we go. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Episode 128. We have from NBCWashington.com. D.C. holds marijuana medical tax holiday. It's part of an effort to get more people back to the D.C.'s medical marijuana dispensaries. The district is making it cheaper and easier to get medical marijuana this week as the industry is struggling with competition. There are only 7 medical marijuana dispensaries in the district, And while it is illegal to sell recreational cannabis in D.C., there are dozens of stores where you can get around that law by having marijuana gifted to you when you buy something, such as art or music downloads. In an effort to get more people back to its medical marijuana dispensaries, D.C. has implemented a tax holiday. Through Sunday, April 24th, the 6% sales tax is waived, said Fred Musali, director of D.C.'s Alcohol Beverage Regulation Administration. This is the first time in the district this holiday has ever happened. Musel explains it's also easier and cheaper to renew your medical marijuana card right now. Quoted, medical cannabis cards are currently free, he said. So through April 24th, you can get a 2-year card. Additionally, if you're 65 years of age and older, you can self-certify, which means you don't need a doctor's recommendation. While medical marijuana is an option for some, many more appear to be going to the gifting stores and stores that call themselves I-71 compliant, referring to the voter initiative that made it legal to possess, cultivate, or gift small amounts of marijuana. The CEO of Leafly, one of the nation's largest online marijuana marketplaces, was in D.C. Tuesday as part of a nationwide promotion unveiling murals here in 3 major cities in the advance of the 420 holiday. Okay. Let's talk about the economic side of this. The CEO Yoko Mishaka of Leafly quotes, and the economic argument for legalization. Over 400,000 jobs in the legal cannabis industry today. When you've got a legalized market, you've got a plant that is grown, processed, distributed, and sold all within this state. Miyashaka quotes, and all the tax revenue generated from that can be reinvested in the state or community. Now, Sean Perkins, a Howard University graduate, painted a mural here in D.C., quoting, my work, I just want to inspire smiles. If somebody looks at my piece and it makes them happy or it makes them smile, my job is done. And I think he painted a picture with a marijuana leaf on it. The ABRA is offering walk-up renewals for medical cannabis cards every day this week at their headquarters at the Reeve Center. You don't have to be a D.C. resident to take advantage of the tax holiday. The district's medical dispensaries accept medical cards from Virginia and Maryland, as well as states including Pennsylvania and Florida. Oh, yeah. Hanging out a lot on the East Coast in this one today. Here we go. From NorthJersey.com. Let's see. I'm here in the jungle. Lots of sounds. Peterson fails to pass ordinance in time to get tax revenue for start of legal weed sales. Thursday's debut of recreational marijuana sales in Paterson won't generate any additional money for city government. That's because municipal officials never adopted an ordinance imposing a local tax on recreational cannabis purchases. Exactly how much Patterson will be losing is hard to say. The city currently gets about $20,000 per month in taxes on the sale of medical marijuana. City officials last summer said Patterson could reap as much as $1.5 million per year in recreational marijuana taxes, but that estimate was based on as many as 36 businesses opening, including entities cultivating, wholesaling, and marketing marijuana. Councilman Al Abdelaziz quotes, "You've got my blood boiling. I'm trying to fix this as soon as possible so we don't lose any more revenue." Abdelaziz said he was working with the city council president, Maritza Davila, and municipal law department to expedite an ordinance that would put in place local taxes on recreational marijuana. Davila said the church would address the cannabis tax void in the near future. Patterson, which has been selling medical since the Rise Dispensary, selling medical cannabis since December 2019, will expand its operation to include recreational marijuana sales. The Patterson businesses will be one of about 13 in the New Jersey kicking off the legalized sales of recreational marijuana. Mayor Andre Saez's administration and the city council spent almost 2 months wrestling over legalized marijuana sales last summer. Eventually, the council in August voted to ban all marijuana businesses in the city, but Saez vetoed that decision. The mayor's veto left the door open for recreational marijuana businesses to operate in Patterson, and city officials didn't enact the taxes during the 8 intervening months. It's not clear how many other towns in New Jersey where recreational sales will start Thursday have approved local taxes on the marijuana. The New Jersey Cannabis Regulatory Commission said it did not have that information. Saez Economic Development Director Michael Powell said the city didn't know that the state would approve recreational cannabis sales at the Rise Dispensary until this month. Powell quotes, "We didn't anticipate this rapid movement." He said the state's approval for the Rise to sell recreational marijuana will help the administration make the cause to convince the council to enact the cannabis taxes. Written by Joe Malincionico. Whew. Money, money, money. Hands in your cookie jar. Hands in your cookie jar. Smoke News Radio. Jason Brodsky. Here we go. What you find next? From Komu.com, K-O-M-U, a medical marijuana tax bill could benefit dispensary owners and consumers. In Colombia, new medical marijuana legislation could bring tax benefits to Missouri dispensaries. The Missouri House and Ways and Means Committee approved Senate Bill 807 on Wednesday the bill would allow medical marijuana dispensaries to claim businesses' expense deductions on their tax returns, which is currently not allowed in Missouri because cannabis is still federally illegal. David Smith, the treasurer of Missouri Medical Cannabis Trade Association, is one of the outspoken proponents of the bill. Smith quotes, "The bill is designed to place legally licensed cannabis operators on equal footing with other legal businesses in the state of Missouri." Smith gave testimony in support of the bill in front of the Missouri Senate last spring. He said the bill's benefits extend past dispensary owners and will also financially assist medical marijuana consumers. Smith quotes, "Taxation at a business level ultimately gets passed down by the consumer by way of higher prices. If the tax burden for the business is reduced, then we certainly would expect to see lower pricing at the retail consumer level." One of the mid-Missouri businesses that would benefit from these tax deductions is 315 Primo Cannabis. Despite opening its doors less than 2 years ago, it was the first medical marijuana dispensary established in Colombia. While he says his business could use the financial relief, owner Jason Corrado says he will also pass these benefits along. Corrado quotes, "Any relief of a tax burden or any relief of a cost burden we will pass along to the patient. While the bill will not apply to federal tax deductions, Corrado says the tax deductions would be enough for his workers and buyers to notice." Corrado quotes, "Any advantage we have as a business is just going to allow us to give better pricing to our consumers and treat our employees better." Opponents of the bill have argued that offering dispensaries this tax privilege reduces tax collection at the state level and places a higher burden on the public. However, Smith says this difference would be negligible. Quoting, "This is a new industry that is now legal. Really, the state is losing tax revenues that it would be losing anyway. At the end of the day, there is no downside. It's really just a policy that makes sense." The bill will now head to the House floor. If approved by the end of the session, it could go in effect by the end of August. From Komu.com. Next on Smoke News Radio, from Greek Reporter, Reporter.com. Medical cannabis to be sold at pharmacies in Greece. Written by Tasos Kokindindis. In Bogdan, Greece expects huge investments in the production of medical cannabis, which the government hopes would add up to 1.5 billion euros, that's 1.67 billion annually, to state revenue. Minister for Development and Investment, Andos Georgiadis, said, speaking exclusively exclusively to Greek Reporter, Georgiandis maintained that medical cannabis would be produced and sold in Greece beginning in 2022. Quoting, "The goal is for Greece to become the top European country in the production of medical cannabis. The Greece's environment is friendly for this particular plant, and we think we have a natural advantage," was quoted to the Greek Reporter. Greece's legalized medical cannabis in 2017 and repealed a ban of cultivation and production in March 2018. Medical cannabis, also called medical marijuana, is an herbal drug derived from plants of the genus Cannabis, which is used as part of the treatment for a specific symptom or disease, such as cancer, chronic pain, and mental disorders. So, the Grecian Delight supports Greece. The two major cannabinoid extracts from this plant provide major benefits, include tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, and cannabidiol, CBD. Now, medical cannabis to be sold in pharmacies. Georgiandis said a big investment in Deakin Europe near the city of Corinth is already complete, and two more investments from companies in the UK and Canada are on the cards for the production of medical cannabis in Macedonia and Patra. Tikkun Europe was founded in Greece in 2018 and is a subsidiary of Israeli Tikkun Olam Global Player in research and development of medical cannabis products. It is the first company to have been granted a license for the cultivation and processing of production of medical cannabis in Greece. The Greek minister revealed the Greek Reporter that foreigners will also be able to use cannabis in Greece and that they would be allowed to purchase it through pharmacies, with the only condition being that they have a prescription from their doctor. In Amsterdam and other cities, on the other hand, users must attain medical marijuana at specialty stores. And cannabis for recreation illegal in Greece. The Greek minister, however, warned that the use of cannabis for recreational purposes is still prohibited in Greece. This is illegal and you will get arrested, quotes Georgiandis. He said that he is personally against the legalization of cannabis for recreational use. All right, rocking on. Get your medical cards where you need them. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, episode 28. Fractally there. Let's see. All right. From Schengen Visayan Info. Amsterdam mayor to move ahead with tourist cannabis cafe ban. Authorities in the Netherlands may soon close Amsterdam's cannabis cafes or cannabis shops to tourists after Amsterdam's mayor, Femke Elsé, has unfolded the plan to make such a move. According to Haseelam, the move is the only option in order to get a grip on the local soft drugs market. Schengen Visa Info quotes, in this regard, Haseema said the city councillors that there is a worrying interdependence between the soft as well as the hard drug trade, while stressing that money from lucrative cannabis trade can easily lead to hard drugs. Quoted, many of the major problems in the city are fueled by the cannabis market, from nuisance caused by drug tourism to serious crime and violence. Banning sales to tourists is a necessary intervention and the first step towards regulation, she points out to Dutch News. Recent research has revealed that only 66 of the total 166 licensed coffee shops in Amsterdam are needed in order to meet the local demand. According to Haseelam, imposing a ban would be the best measure in accordance to ensuring the cannabis market continues to be manageable, with experiments with the production of regulated marijuana get underway. The mayor has also initiated a campaign against street dealing, which, among others, including warning signs, increased camera surveillance, as well as the use of hosts to warn tourists regarding the risks in Amsterdam. Authorities in the Netherlands have continuously attempted to impose effective measures in order to deal with the current problem, after the country is among the most favorite destinations in Europe. Previously, research conducted by the country's government revealed that 58% of the international tourists who traveled to Amsterdam chose the Netherlands capital in order to consume drugs, according to Haseelam. At the same time, another study revealed that Amsterdam would support fewer than 70 coffee shops if only locals were served. The mayor quotes, Amsterdam is an international city, and we wish to attract tourists, but for its richness, its beauty, and its cultural institutions, stressing that the cannabis market was too big and had too many links to organized crime, as reported back then by The Guardian. The mayor quotes, stresses that she remains open, hospitable, as well as tolerant, but at the same time would make life more difficult for people involved in criminal affairs. However, back then, Haseelam stressed that such a plan would take months in order to be revised, after there would need to be a period of consultation and transition for owners of coffee shops. Wow. Could answer them to smoke. Nope, not anymore. Not anymore. Okay. From an authority. Okay. I think parts of USA Today is in this one. Planning to celebrate 420? A lung expert advises considering methods other than smoking. April 20th, known as 420 Day, has been a long celebrated date for marijuana enthusiasts worldwide, and this year is no exception, thanks to more states legalizing the drug. But one local lung expert is reminding people of the dangers associated with smoking and advises them to consider other methods for high times. Dr. Eric Presser, a thoracic surgeon from the Comprehensive Cancer Center at the Desert Regional Medical Center, a proponent of marijuana, also cannabis, has seen firsthand the effects of the plant's compounds. Tetrahydrocannabinol and cannabinol CBD have had on patients to help with their anxiety and chronic pain. But to put it bluntly, he says smoking should not be preferred way for people to interact with marijuana, the most commonly used federally illegal drug in the United States. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimate 48.2 million people used it in 2019. Presser quotes, "I tell all my patients that anytime we inhale anything, whether it's vaping cannabis or smoking cannabis with a joint or a bong, you create an inflammatory response. The only thing we should be breathing is clean air." Smoke from marijuana has many of the same toxins, irritants, and carcinogens as tobacco smoke, according to the CDC. While people breathe in smoke or smoke from any kind, it will cause irritation, which will lead to increased mucus production and cough. Dominic Danda packages marijuana flowers and finds that some studies have shown that vaping has been considered safer for cannabis use because it doesn't produce any of the harmful components of burning material. Presser also quotes, "Doesn't mean that I tell my patients to start vaping weed." While Presser does not prescribe marijuana to his patients, he has open and honest conversations with them. All right, guys, you're great. Thank you for listening tonight, Smoke News Radio. Pay attention to how herb affects you and your lungs. You only got one pair. So much love. Be safe out there. And we got little Jack Johnson to read you a little lullaby. Yeah. About the possible, hopefully not news. All right. Have a good night. Love you.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, mama said, "It's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears the unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullaby.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.